Well, I guess let's just jump right in and just tell me what the, how would you summarize the report?
Agriculture has had so many challenges this year, from the drought and a lot of disease pressure, and we had inflation soaring, global economic slowdown, the high value dollar, supply chain issues. I mean, the list just goes on and on. But the bottom line is that just due to some very tight supplies in many of our ag commodities, that even though input prices went up, that prices of commodities went up by a greater amount. And basically, we're looking at the potential that we think to set an all-time record high for Kentucky ag cash receipts of approaching $8 billion. And just a few years ago, we were in the low fives. So we've had a good run. Obviously, high feed cost and fertilizer cost, and right now, increasing interest rates, all these factors are cutting into these margins. But at the end of the day, the price increases more than outweighed the higher commodity prices and lower yields that we had on some of our crops this past year.
Yeah, when I read Amy sent the release, just to look it over, and so it, on the surface it sounds like, how does that math work out where, you face farmers face all this, but then it can still be a record receipt time. How, I mean, that's a good thing at all, I guess, isn't it?
Certainly, but again, revenues are price times quantity, and I think grain yields, certainly corn was hurt by the drought, but many of our grain farmers would tell you that their yields ended up better than they thought they would have been. Plus, one other factor that weighs into it is we had a lot of grain carried over from last year, and we had such a bumper crop that many producers held on to that grain, and as a result, were rewarded with higher prices in the spring and summer leading into this year's harvest. So again, combination of marketings being what they were, multiplied by considerably higher price, has boosted those gross revenues. And even though net may come down for some producers, overall we expect it to be a very strong net farm income year as well.
Okay. Now, and again, looking down, I don't have it right in front of me right now, but all the different categories. Now, as far as the horse industry, I mean, obviously things are, I guess, going pretty well there too, aren't they?
Yeah, we had record level sales this year, and obviously a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. And the racetrack, the purses are up in interest by both domestic and global buyers out there for our thoroughbreds. And as a result, Keeneland sales had about 9-10% increase in sales, and that was on top of about a 35-40% increase the year before. So there's a lot of enthusiasm out there. I don't know if some of them might have to be due to the fact that investors are looking at other things besides the stock market these days, and looking where to put their money. And again, the industry went through several years of some tough years, but certainly it appears to be on the rebound.
Inflation is talked about. It's going to be does the ag industry, as far as inflation impact there, is that a different, I guess, is the impact different in the ag industry when it comes to inflation?
Well, inflation impacts everyone, from consumers to businesses, and certainly ag was not excluded from being impacted. I mean, we had fertilizer prices soared, feed prices were way up this past year, just overall ag inputs. But again, if you look across the board, most ag commodities were up by a higher percentage than the increases in input prices. One more longer term concern is certainly with high interest rates evolving from inflation, what does that do to land values? Well, even though you would expect that higher interest rates would, and somewhat declining margins in some of our crops would put a damper on land values, that they still remain very, very strong. And as a result, our bankers are telling us that the balance sheets are looking very good entering 2023. So again, it really depends on how sustained of level we have of inflation moving forward. I think long term, it could certainly have some negative impacts. But right now, just supplies of most agricultural commodities on a global wide basis are extremely tight, and as a result, it's resulted in higher prices. Some of this has certainly evolved from the invasion, Russia's invasion into Ukraine. It's such a huge ag market, around 30% of global wheat exports and close to 20% of corn exports come out of Ukraine. And when that gets constrained and shut down, that opens some opportunities for other parts of the world to fill that void.
So in a weird way, that can, I guess, in a weird way, are you saying that can benefit Kentucky farmers?
Yes, but again, I think all of us would feel better if that situation would resolve itself, because long term, it's so detrimental, not only to those individual countries, but also just to consumers around the world. There's no doubt that that's contributed to a lot of food price inflation as a result of that disruption in that market.
Well, maybe just a couple other questions. Well, what in the livestock area, is there anything, I guess I'll say, of particular to note there?
Our livestock specialist, Dr. Burdine, is very bullish about what's going to happen in the beef market next year. He makes the comment we've had several false starts in recent years with COVID and plant closures, and we had obviously the drought, high feed costs. A lot of things have kind of put a damper on cattle prices. But again, it's a situation where cattle numbers are declining, and beef demand, even though you and I have had to pay relatively high prices for beef, retail demand has been fairly strong in the beef sector. So as a result, with lower cattle numbers and sustained beef demand, those prices have increased this year about 15 to 20 cents a pound. And Dr. Burdine is very optimistic that prices will be strong again in 2023. Unlike crops, where you can replenish, from one year to the next, it takes a while to increase livestock numbers, and it appears that those numbers will be fairly tight again next year, and that contributes to some optimism in the beef sector.
I was just scrolling down here a little bit, and it may be something in there, but what's the situation with hemp?
Well, hemp is just a classic example of economics in play. We had just massive overproduction and situation where a lot of uncertainty with regulation out there, and as a result, the prices fell 80-90%. So we've gone from 25, 30,000 of acres of hemp in Kentucky to I think the number this past year may have been 1,300 acres. So I still think, there's a room for hemp out there as a niche product once we get supply and demand back balanced. But we've seen decreases all across the nation in terms of hemp acres. There is a market demand out there, but it is a commodity that the buyers out there have certain specifications that they need. And again, we just way overproduced. And as I pointed out, this uncertainty with federal regulations probably held back the market somewhat. But the bottom line is we just didn't need the acres that we put out several years ago.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
in
it's, it's just a small market at this point in time, but we're still importing hemp and hemp products, and there's still, a consumer demand out there. But again, we need hundreds or thousands of acres, not hundreds of thousands of acres of hemp.
Well, yeah, I guess, and we'll just see what the future holds.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'll just so we're talking about Central Kentucky, you know, tobacco had another difficult year, like some of the other commodities. The tobacco companies tried to incentivize more acres by raising contract prices, but the margins are getting tighter and tighter, and farmers are struggling to get the yields that they needed. Plus, on top of that, these dry conditions we had in the fall led to just a dismal curing season. So it's been a tough challenge for tobacco producers. Again, I think going into 2023, there will be opportunities, even though the demand is way down overall, there will be opportunities for growers who want to stay in the sector to grow more tobacco. But again, when you're looking at $13, $14 soybeans, $6, $7 corn, $2 plus calves out there, many farmers in Central Kentucky have exited the tobacco business, getting all the labor challenges we have and the uncertainty and the difficult to get yield, and declining infrastructure out there, that tobacco is actually down to about 3 or 4% of our total cash receipts. So big changes there. We've talked over the years about how poultry in the western part of the state has increased market share. Well, we've seen a huge increase also in the grain market share, a lot of it driven by higher prices. But again, a lot of our farmers have certainly transitioned away from tobacco and looked at grains and beef cattle and some other operation or other enterprises to make up for that lost income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's mentioning tobacco. So do you know roughly how many tobacco growers we have? And, I guess I always ask this, how many tobacco growers we have now, and what was, and in the heyday, what was it?
Yeah, well, back in the early 90s, we had about 60,000 of our roughly 80,000 farms growing tobacco. The last ag census we had was in 2017. We conducted every 5 years, so we're actually starting to conduct a census for 2022. But in 2017, we had roughly 2,500 in Kentucky. I would be, that number is going to be closer, my guess, when the 2022 numbers are out. It'll be a challenge to have, 1,000 farms still growing tobacco in the state. So to go from 60,000 down to around 1,000 is, obviously a huge structural change. And it's just, pointing out the importance of the diversification in Kentucky agriculture. As we've gone from $3.5 billion up to last year pushing $7 billion, and this past year, 2022, we think pushing $8 billion. When, again, given tobacco's declined so much over those years. So good news on that front in terms of diversification. I guess one last thing I think is very important, as we look to 2023, again, farmers on paper have had a good couple of years despite the challenges, but we have so many uncertain factors out there for what's happening in the war in Ukraine, to the obviously weather in South America, value of the dollar, interest rates, inflation. My main comment is that we're cautiously optimistic that there's money to be made in 2023, but farmers have got to continue to monitor these markets almost on a daily basis and really try to protect themselves from price risk and yield risk as much as possible, because this market could be extremely volatile in 2023.